Good morning, Chapel family. Standing next to me is Pastor Marty McDonald from the City Church in Batavia, New York. Now, Pastor Marty and I met on a trip to Israel back a little over a year ago. And one of the things that impressed me about him, we had met maybe prior to that just a little bit, but we really got to know each other there. And one of the things that impressed me about him was the humility and the graciousness with which he just conducts his life. This is a man who walks full of the Spirit of God and walks in grace and in humility. And I'm really, really thankful to have men like him in our lives. He's shown me a lot of grace and a lot of kindness and a lot of encouragement. And so I'm thrilled that he's here to bless our church today. And I want you just to pay close attention to hear this man's heart for God and to hear him as he teaches us the Word of God. So please join with me in giving a huge chapel welcome to Pastor Marty McDonald.
Give a great hand clap to Jesus. Come on. Amen, Lord. Man, you're beautiful. Hey, look to the person next to you and say, you look especially incredible today. Will you do that? It's all the ugly people, they stayed home today. You're here. Well, I'm honored to be here, and we've just had such a great time moving up to this day. And to start this series with all of you, I just want you to know, I really feel like I'm home today. I mean, I really feel like that. Y'all are just wonderful. And your pastor and worship team are at our church in Batavia, and I've already got some texts, some messages that just an incredible time is happening there. And I believe today is not an accident, not because I am here, but I believe that God has something incredible for every one of you that have come today. Maybe some of you have come, you had no intention of being here. Maybe somebody just drug you here to get you here. You know, some of the parents tell me my kids are on drugs. I got to drag them everywhere I go with them. But you are here for a reason today. You are here for an appointment with the Lord today. And I really believe that God's going to speak to your heart today in a powerful way. We start this new series, On the Road to Christmas, and it's just an incredible realization. As I was driving here this morning, my car said it was 58 degrees. How many of you are happy for that? How many of you wish it was snowing and you were... There'll be special prayer for you at the end of the service today. Did you have a great Thanksgiving? I hope you did. I hope you did. I'm incredibly thankful to be here today, and I have part of my family. In fact, all of these people up here that were playing and singing, these are all just family to me. We have grown together. I've known many of them for years and years. And but I have two of my sons. My son was playing the drums. That's Benjamin. And my youngest son, Garrett, was the one leading worship this morning. One of the guys in the other sanctuary said, look, he looks like Thor. I've never heard that description of him before, but I think he'll take that. And then I know this is going to surprise you, but this coming month in December, I will be married 34 years. And my beautiful wife is here. Honey, will you stand up? I just want everybody to get a look at you. Isn't she beautiful? And I also, I almost forgot. I have my grandbaby. I have three grandchildren. Now, this is where you bump the person on the side and say, he just doesn't look like he could be that old. You are right. I'm not. I have three of the most beautiful grandbabies with me today, Gabriel, Judah, and Jamin, and I love them. I'm telling you, if I knew grandkids were going to be as great as they are, I would have skipped having kids. And all the grandparents said, amen, I like you this morning. Would you close your eyes and bow your head with me just a moment as we pray this morning and just give God thanks for just a minute. Father, I just give you honor, thanks this morning. Today is... we share your word, and the power of your Holy Spirit is already here to do what he does so well. I pray, Lord, not only for this congregation here, but all the pastors that are traveling today, Pastor Jerry, Pastor Pat, Pastor Roderick, and the congregations at their homes and the ones that they're ministering to, that you will do an amazing work in every person. Today, let testimonies come forth. Lord, let people's hearts be touched and satiated with the goodness of God. Lord, that we might all know that you've come to bring each one of us life and to bring it to us in an abundant way. Today, Lord, bless your word, I pray, and your people in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said amen. If you have your Bible this morning, if you open it up to Luke chapter 2, and I hope you bring your Bible, even though I know it'll be up on the screen. It's a good place. Maybe you have an iPad, iPod, iTouch, I don't touch, Android. If you'd open it up to Luke chapter 2, I also want to share about the Do Good campaign, and I hope you're participating in it. We had a flash mob that we did a week ago Saturday at the Eastern Hills Mall that was just amazing. But it's the heart that just reaches out to people. You will touch and see people that not all of us in leadership or in ministry can ever do, but you can make a difference in the people that are around you by just doing something, going over and above what maybe you normally do. Maybe, you know, I love when I go to Starbucks, I just love to buy the coffee for the person behind me or the next two people behind me. And for them to say, why did you do that? Like I'm going to try to sell them something. And I said, I just want to do it because I want to do something kind for you today. In our society is not used to that. But Jesus didn't call you and I to be the normal kind of people. He called you and I to be those who step into society with a new way and a new message and a new lifestyle. And so I want to encourage you to do that and just to be a part of that. And I love this time of year. I mean, I'm the biggest kid in the bunch at this time of year. Because it reminds me of the gift that was given unto me. I didn't grow up in the greatest of homes. I grew up in a very dysfunctional home. I grew up in a home where my family, my dad died when I was 13. And those years before that, he was an alcoholic, and our home was really very destructive. My mom, every Christmas season, she would almost go into this level of depression because of the sadness, not only because of that, but because I lost a brother and a sister as well. A sister when she was 11 and a brother when he was 21. And so my mom would always go into this time of hurt and pain, because this time of year can also be a benchmark for people to remember disappointments and hurts. And I remember those very well. But I also want to share something with you this morning that completely changed my life. See, not only did our home go through chaos and hurt, I don't go through that today. When I was a young man, somebody handed me a black King James Bible after I had lost a sister, a brother, my father, and then my mother died of cancer when I was 17 years old, and I was homeless. And I didn't know what was going to happen. And, you know, I didn't know. I just thought, well, I'm next. Somebody handed me this Bible and they said, read this, kid. And I'm 17, homeless, living in the back end of a pickup truck, wondering, what's going to happen to me? Where am I going to go? And that's why I wanted to name this message this morning, because I've seen the dark and I've also seen the light. And I want to call this morning a bright light in a dark night, because that's what Jesus does. No matter where you've come from, no matter even what you're going through today, no matter what you're facing ahead of you, maybe you're here today, maybe you're going through some pain, or maybe you don't even have a clue of what I'm talking about, stick around in life long enough, you will. Maybe not to that measure. But Jesus has come into the world to bring hope, to bring life, to bring peace, no matter how dark your night is. He has come with intentionality to lift you up and to bless your life. And I want to read the story in Luke chapter 2 this morning, in verse 8 through 20. It says, "Now that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep." And I just want to tell you that when we begin to put this together, I chose the shepherds. You know, there was the wise men, Jesus, the shepherds. And I can't remember the fourth one. I feel like Rick Perry right now. I can't remember that. So I had to stay out of politics this morning. But anyways, where did that come from, Lord? Help me now. Never let me back here again. Your pastor is the coolest guy in the world. Yeah. I mean, the guy's not only brilliant. I mean, when we left Israel, I said to him, "Pastor, I'm going to resign my church. Would you have a job for me just sweeping floors or mowing the lawn?" And he's just a cool guy, and I love him much. And, you know, make sure you bless him at Christmas. I said, make sure you bless him at Christmas. Listen, don't worry about your pastor. Well, we don't want to get him too puffed up. He didn't tell me to say any of this. You need to bless him and build up his family. He is a gift to our Western New York region. The gift of God that is in him has tilted our culture in a positive way. And the half has not been told what the results of that are going to be. Amen. That's enough. Amen. Go ahead. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise on that. So shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Verse 9, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them and said, "Don't be afraid." He said, "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth." I love how the New Living says that. "Lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those who God is pleased." And when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened that the Lord has told us about." In verse 16, they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. In verse 20, and then the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. And it was just as the angel had told them. I want to talk to you just for a couple minutes this morning about the place of the people, the message, and the results. Because the place of the people, this amazes me. Here, the shepherds come from this baser level of society. They were known to be dishonest. They were known to be thieves. They couldn't be counted. They couldn't give any vote. They couldn't be used in any judicial system because they were kind of known as a, like we would maybe look at a present-day gypsy. Their dealings in their community and their region were less than stellar. They were just mostly illiterate or maybe little or very or no education. And they were also on the lowest rung of the economic ladder in their society, let alone they lived in the hills. They stinketh. Now, I don't know if any of you ever been on a farm or anything. I grew up on a farm. In fact, we live on a fourth generation family farm. We don't have any animals. Well, we have a couple stray cats. But I know something about farming. And I know when you're around animals for a long length of time, how many of you know you smell like animals? And here's the point. Here God is silent for 400 years. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, God chooses to bring the message of the King of Kings, the Savior, the light of the world, into the world to a group of rebels that are looked at society as outcasts. Man, I tell you, I love this story. And they were terrified. And maybe they were terrified because of the guilt that was in their lives for the misguided deeds that they were doing at the time. Maybe it was something in their past that they were upset about. Maybe it was just because they'd never seen light before. I don't know. There's all kinds of reason. But nevertheless, God comes to them. He doesn't go to a priest or a rabbi. He doesn't go to someone of great influence. He goes and sends his message to shepherds. God is showing us here that it doesn't matter how far or how dark or how backwards humanity may look or seem, that he is not too good that he won't go to the darkest, to the most remote places to bring the story of the good news to someone. And maybe you're here today, and maybe you're in a dark place. Maybe you're here, you're in a dark place. Maybe you're watching on television, or you're looking on the internet or listening somewhere. Maybe you're in a dark place. And maybe it's because of your own design. But God has not classified you as untouchable or unreachable or unworthy or a throwaway. God looks at you as someone that he can come to and pour his life into today. You could have been one of those people that were, you just feel disconnected by life. You don't even want to come into a church because you think everybody in the church is better than you are. That's not true. People, when I invite them to come to church, they say, well, I can't go to church because if I go, the walls will fall. And I look and I say, they haven't fallen in on me yet. I tell people in our church, I say, come on, adjust your halo. You are not that great. I would never say that here, but that's what I say at home. Maybe there's something in your past. Maybe when I talked about my family, it touched a nerve in your heart, and you thought, oh, that makes pain in me. It hurt. I try to forget it. But see, God's not necessarily wanting you to forget it. He wants you to have victory over it. You could have been one of those people that got shoved into a display on Black Friday or pepper sprayed. That incredible. Or maybe you're like the woman that I visited Friday night. I got a call late at one of the local hospice, said, can you come and pray with a mother who's watching her son die? And I went there, and as I embraced this woman, as we looked at her baby in the bed, you know, no parent should ever have to bury their children. I saw my parents bury two. And I embraced her, and I thought for a minute, God, can you be light in this moment? Can you shine a light in this dark point? See, God is in the business of rescuing people and telling us that he's here with the people in the place, and he brought with it a great message. He said in verse 10 and 11, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, the only place in the New Testament where it gives those three descriptions of it, has been born today. Aren't you glad for what he didn't say? He didn't say, if you're good enough, you can hear this message. If you've been nice and not naughty, you can get this and receive what I bring to you. If you qualify, you can be a part of what's going to happen. And the angel didn't say any of that. He says, today I bring good news to you. And it's not only for you. See, the gospel is for all people. We shouldn't just hold it to ourselves. That's why whatever is going on in the foyer, picking something up, doing good, helping, our call in your bulletins, inviting somebody else, our call is to take the gospel to all people. And when this word came to these shepherds, the good news is for you, and it's for all of you. It's for everyone, not just the righteous, not just the broken, but for everyone. Everyone who is looking, for those who don't understand. It's for the one who this year may face uncertainty. It's for the wealthy. It's for the unemployed. It's for the married, the single, the elderly, the youthful. It's for all the people. Because when the good news comes into our life, it changes everything. Come on, that's a good time to give God a praise. And what does the good news mean? The good news means that God loves you and I. John 3:16, you know, for God so loved the world, he sent his only son, that if you were the only one here, he'd send Jesus for you. That's good news. It also means that God is with us. The Bible says his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. It means he'll never leave you nor forsake you. When the world walks out, he walks in. Oh, praise God for that today. You don't have to worry about 2012. You don't have to shy away from it. You can run strong into it because you know that the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords is with you, and he is in you, and he'll strengthen you wherever you go. God is with us. That's good news today. And the third thing that good news is that he is for you. How many of you know that today? Maybe you come in today and somebody's communicated to you that, hey, if you've messed up, if you did this, that God is in heaven. He's got this big mallet. He's just waiting for the opportunity. Smack you down like a fly in a summer's picnic. That's not God. He is for you. He is on your side. God wants you to win today. I'm a competitive guy by nature. Oh, I mean, I'm competitive. I was telling somebody this morning, I used to play racquetball 5 days a week, and I'm going to tell you, I want to win. And I want to win for humanity's sake. And I tell people, you know, I used to have people say to me, say, you know, Pastor, it's not good for you to be competitive. I said, only you want me competitive when I'm fighting for your soul. You want me competitive when I'm praying for your kids. You want me competitive when I'm believing God for your marriage, don't you? Come on, God wants you and I to be on the winning side. Paul said, I don't just punch to the air. He says, I want to win. And God sent his son into the world not to condemn it. John 3:17, but that the world might be saved. God today is for you. That's the good news. He's not only with you, he not only loves you, he is for you. And the Bible says that if God be for us, who can be against us? And I'm persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other created thing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you glad for that today? Come on. And that good news, huh, that produces a results in our lives. That produces a results in our lives. The entire human race would be affected by this day. The entire human race, the future of humanity would be dependent on this day. And God sends the word through and to a bunch of rabble rousers. I want you to know today that Christ has made a difference in my life. I am here today. I was telling Pastor Darrell on the way, and I was walking in with my wife. And 14 years ago, when we started our church at our home, we had gone through a difficult time in life, and my wife and some of the other people around us said, come on, we really believe, we just moved back into the area, we lived in Seattle, we believe we're supposed to start a church. I said, I'm not starting a church. I've had enough of church. How many of you sometimes know that Christian people sometimes can just get you where it hurts? That's not the Lord today. I want to bring that life to somebody. Now, I remember one winter's morning. We were in our house, and it was snowing bad outside. For all you snow lovers, God help you. And the only people that were in the church that day in my home were my kids. I have three sons. Two of them are here. My other son is home. My wife and my father-in-law. And I'm in my office. My wife comes in. She goes, well, honey, we're all ready for church today. I said, I'm not going out there. She goes, what do you mean you're not going out there? I said, honey, come on, be real. It's the kids and your dad. What are we doing here? And in the gentle way that my wife is, 22% of the time. Yeah, she is. That's just a joke. She said, honey, you need to get up out of that chair and you need to go out in that living room because that's the best congregation you'll ever have to speak to in your life. Man, she hammered me with that. But I had a dark day that day. I had a dark day, and those words changed my life. And I've come to tell someone here today that you can get up from where you're at. You can rise up if you're going through a dark time in your life. You can rise up from that darkness. You can rise up from that hurt. You can rise up from that pain. I remember after my family had all died and I'm living alone in a dark place, that one night that gospel light shined on my life and began to change everything. You see, the results that happen when you and I have the gospel come to us is incredible. And what happened to the shepherds that night was monumental. The Bible says they told everyone what had happened, what the angels said. They went to see, and when they saw the baby, they were just astonished. The Bible says in verse 20 that the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they heard and seen. The three things that happened: they hurried, they told, and then they resumed a not so normal life because their lives had been impacted. You see, when the good news comes to your life, things begin to change. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you came, and maybe you're at a place in your life that you have never made Jesus Christ the Lord and the master of your life. That is something you need to do this Christmas season. You need to ask him, Lord, take over my life. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior, and accept the gift that God is offering to you. Because the gift, although it's not expected, it's a gift nonetheless. And the worst days of your life are never as bad that you are beyond the reach of God's grace. And your best days are never so good that you are beyond the need for God's grace. Maybe you're here today and you just think, I don't know if that's for me. I don't know if God's grace can help me. Maybe you're here today and you've just been hurt. You've been disappointed. Maybe this Christmas season is just, oh, it's something that you can't get your hands around. I've come to bring you some good news today. I've come to bring you the news that Jesus Christ loves you and cares about you and sent his son into the world to help you. And maybe you're here today and you're on top of the world. Can I ask you to go to another level with that then? Can I ask you to take that good news and to share it with somebody that's never heard it before? And if you haven't done that in a while, this is the most incredible season to do that, that you could ever be in. Come on, do you love the Lord today? I'm so glad to be here and share the gospel with you today. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to bow your head. I want to pray for you this morning before I leave. And I thank you for being such an incredible congregation in God's house today. But I'm serious when I tell you what I'm saying to you today, that God has a plan for your life. God came and he sent his word into a dark place, that he has not forgotten anyone today. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor Marty, I've never given my heart to Jesus Christ. Today is a day that you can do that right where you're at. Say, Jesus, I want you to take over my life. Maybe you're here in your family, things are not going good. Maybe there's alcohol-related issues. Maybe it's drug-related issues. Maybe children are away. Maybe you're just going through a tough time. This season is a dark time for you. I wanted you to know that Jesus came to speak life into dark places. Father, today I pray for my friends that are here. I pray for life to come to them. I pray for hope. I pray for the love of Jesus Christ to be shed abroad on every one of their hearts today, for them to know, Lord, that you came for them and that you love them. Lord, I pray blessing over your people now. As they rise up, as they go, Lord, may they be blessed in all that they do. I give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen. Amen. God bless you so much. Thank you, Daryl, Marty.
Give a special thank you for Pastor Marty. That was awesome.